Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It's not a morning in which we're talking about the blackest of Mondays. There are still some saving grace in the NFL, and maybe, just maybe, we won't see nearly as many head coaching openings as some people have predicted. You know, predictions are just guesses. They're not always founded in reality. At this point, it's the Patriots and it's the Jaguars who have joined the Jets, the Saints, and the Bears. Maybe we'll hear something on Tuesday about the Raiders, though Antonio Pierce continuing on business as usual. He has to say that. As for the Dallas Cowboys, we know that Mike McCarthy's contract is up in a matter of hours. Jerry Jones doesn't have to fire him because McCarthy won't be under contract for that much longer. And we now know the Bears have asked for permission to interview Mike McCarthy, which in and of itself I find fascinating since he was in the NFC North for so long. The Bears, their ownership, it may not be management because that's turned over, but ownership certainly knows what Mike McCarthy is capable of. McCarthy won't need permission much longer to talk to other teams unless Jerry Jones makes a move to secure him with a contract extension.
Wicked smart.
For his part, he says he's a championship coach. I mean, that's true. It's accurate. He also says he wants to remain in Dallas. Inside the locker room, he spoke to his players on Monday. They got no indication of the future or of any changes in the wind. Speaking of the wind, you'll understand why when we hear from Micah Parsons. At this point, Kevin Stefanski has made a couple of changes to his coaching staff, but no news on his status other than, again, he expects to remain the head coach there in Cleveland. I don't know that there's going to be a big bombshell this year. I could be wrong. The Giants stand pat. They're keeping Brian Daboll and also keeping their general manager, Joe Shane. What am I missing, Producer Pete? Is there another job that you think could end up being a big surprise?
No, I think it's more of if one of these coaches gets traded. I think, I don't know if O'Connell will, but, you know, you always hear, there's always someone that flies under the radar. I mean, you've heard about Kyle Shanahan, and, you know, maybe they do something over there, but I don't think that'll happen. But
I don't think so either. I think there's zero chance.
I think there's a chance you have one of these coaches getting traded.
So I don't believe there's any way the Vikings would trade away Kevin O'Connell unless he wanted out.
Right.
And by trade, I'm using my air quotations because it's not quite like a player trade. But we've seen that there are teams that will exchange assets and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't come unless Kevin O'Connell wants out. Kevin O'Connell wants out. He doesn't want out. He made that very clear. Not to mention, they're a 14-win team this season. There's no way the Vikings do that. O'Connell was asked about the rumors and speculation concerning his future, though.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in kind of, I guess I should say, addressing the rumors or speculation. What I can tell you is I love this team. I love everything about this organization. And this is where I want to be. This is where I want to keep coaching and leading. So any conversations, in my opinion, at this point that, you know, really aren't about the Rams and the task at hand, my personal responsibility to lead immediate improvement off of yesterday, but also capitalizing on the opportunity to be in the tournament, my sole focus at this point.
O'Connell is preparing for a wild card game against the Rams on Monday, trying to learn from what happened against the Lions on Sunday. And I believe him. I don't think there's any reason why the Vikings would make that move. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. If you are the Vikings and you trade away a guy who likely could end up as coach of the year, who just took a journeyman quarterback and a guy that most teams, I would say, out there, and probably the vast majority of fans had given up on in Sam Darnold, and turned him into a guy who has a career season. Not to mention, you're vying for the number one seed in the last game of the NFL season. If the Vikings think it's a good idea to move on from that coach and trade him away, I don't care what commodity you get. It's not worth Kevin O'Connell. It's not. There isn't a player out there that I think, and we're not talking about a team trading, like, say, a Micah Parsons, for heaven's sakes. We're not talking about a team trading TJ Watt. Like, that's not happening. That's not how this works. We're talking about draft picks, draft capital, essentially, or cash. And there's no way that a player you don't know of, a player to be named later, is more valuable than Kevin O'Connell.
Unless someone says, hey, I'm giving you my first this year, and a bunch of other firsts, which could happen. I mean, people can get crazy.
I still think that's stupid. I don't know why the Vikings would do it. Then what do you do?
Well, the only way they would, I think, consider it is if Flores doesn't go anywhere, maybe they promote him from within, and they get a haul. Who knows? Things can happen. Things are crazy in the NFL sometimes.
I think if the Vikings do that and undercut the coach that just led them to a 14-win season, they lose a ton of respect in the NFL. Then how many coaches or players want to go play for an ownership or a front office that just screwed the pooch and showed you how little they value a head coach who devoted everything to making this team a winner and turning them into one of the surprises of 2024? You do that and you let everybody else know that you don't give a crap about relationships or about the people who've devoted their time and energy and their expertise to making you a winning team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't do it. I think he's so valuable to that organization. But I'm just giving you the devil's advocate of what it could be. I mean, you could have somebody, maybe not the Vikings, maybe somewhere else, that will make a drastic move like that. And you know, we've seen stuff like that before. So I don't think anything's impossible.
I think the Vikings lose respect, all respect, mm-hmm. if they trade away Kevin O'Connell, believing that something else out there is more attractive, not to mention then you, like you talk about with Brian Flores, but you still have to find a head coach. What does that signal to your coaching staff and to your locker room if you make a move like that? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, we've got playoffs on the horizon, but right now some of this other news, some of these other moves or lack thereof, are they fueling the news cycle? You can find us online at A-Law Radio. What is the most attractive job out there? Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll put a post up at some point because we have time to talk about it. We'll see if any other dominoes drop on Tuesday or Wednesday on into the rest of this week. We did hear from Bob Kraft about the firing of Jerod Mayo after just one season. He looked torn up about it. I believe him when he said this decision was the hardest he's had to make. He seemed very emotional. If you know Bob Kraft, he is that way. He's got a giant heart. He's about relationships, and I believe him, not just the words he said, but also the body language, that this has been really difficult.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Jerod because I put him in an untenable situation. I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league. He just needed more time before taking the job. In the end, I'm a fan of this team first. And now I have to go out and find a coach who can get us back to the playoffs and hopefully championships.
I do think when Bob Kraft mentioned the fans and the fact that he's more of a caretaker, if you will, of the organization, that he's a fan too, he's put in charge. I mean, he bought it, of course, but he's in charge of the Patriots, but he's trying to do the best thing for the team because it's about this fan base that takes such great ownership. So he's more of a cultivator, if you will. The fan reaction toward the end of the season, the last month with Jerod Mayo, I've seen it on social media, of course, heard it in the stadium. Bob Kraft didn't want to do this. Jerod was his hand-picked, his chosen successor to Bill Belichick. And when he talks about the relationship, I know that made it harder.
We'll wait till we bring that coach in. And he's going to have big input on who the players are and who the coaches are. It'll be his decision. I don't know. In my life and my business, I make certain decisions. I know when it's right, and it just happened. And it was very hard because of the personal relationship I feel for Jerod and the human being he is. And I felt guilty I put him in that position. But we're moving on.
The first couple of comments there from Bob Kraft, those were two separate cuts, my fault. One was about the next head coach and how much autonomy he'll have over personnel. And then he talks about the relationship with Jerod and how guilty he feels over it. And like I said, I do believe him. Bill Belichick was doing his radio show. It's kind of weird, right? The UNC head coach on Sirius XM Let's Go with Jim Gray, but they also had Bill Cowher on. So interesting, right? That you've got those two Super Bowl coaches and you've got them together on this radio show and they're both talking about the Patriots move.
Some situations you understand. I've always believed that giving a coach 3 years and see where you're trending is really the appropriate thing to do, in my opinion. You know, what happened to Jerod after 1 year? I mean, I don't know what took place behind the building, but certainly it was a lack of communication. And certainly Jerod had some things he probably had to learn from. You know, and sometimes a first-year head coach says things he probably regrets he says, did things regrets he probably he said. It's called learning experience, and hopefully you can grow from it and learn from it, but also have the support of the people that are behind you.
You need that shared vision between ownership and the coaching and scouting. And that's when you can be successful. And I know, you know, Bill, you had that at Pittsburgh, and I had that up until about the last 4 years in New England. And when you have that shared vision and everybody kind of pulling in the same direction, you know, you have a chance and you can get a lot done. And even if you don't win at all, you're still really competitive. And we've both been in that situation. But when you're going in different directions, then that makes it really hard to keep up with everybody else. So I think you look at the organizations and you can kind of see the ones that are and the ones that aren't.
So Bill Belichick and Bill Cowher talking about not just Jerod Mayo, but also firing a coach after one season. And when do you cut ties? And when do you say, okay, this is not working. This is not, it's not going to be the right fix, no matter how long we give it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We know that in Dallas, it's kind of funny to think, while we're talking Bill Belichick, it's kind of funny to think about how things might be different or how Jerry Jones might be more definitive in his move with his head coach if Bill Belichick had been available. I'm just speculating out there, but it's kind of fun to think about if Belichick believed that there might have been an opening there, if Jerry Jones believed that Bill Belichick was available. Just the idea of those two forces of football joining. At this point, though, Mike McCarthy delivered his final comments to the team on Monday, and Micah Parsons among those speaking about just kind of the last day and doing an exit interview and, yeah, media pressing him for any intel about McCarthy.
I'm in the wind just like you guys. We got no indication. It was more just like going through the tutorials of our, you know, our checklist about what we had to do before we exited. So, you know, I'm in the wind just like you guys.
I'm in the wind just like you guys. I mean, I feel like being in the wind is better than being in the dark. So, yes, he's in the wind. Mike McCarthy is not necessarily in the wind, though he could be twisting in the wind if he doesn't get a contract extension before the time is up. So we've got a situation in Dallas where a lot of people are still hanging on, and Jerry Jones continues to make cryptic comments to the media. He was also complimenting Mike McCarthy on Monday, and he's done that over the course of the last month. He keeps pointing to his Super Bowl championship and his resume, calls him a terrific coach. So if that's the case, why would Jerry Jones move on from Mike McCarthy?
I don't know that I am considering making a change, is really what I'm trying to say. The complimentary verbiage or the complimentary talk about him is, I think, fact. I think I can say that about him no matter what I'm thinking or not thinking.
And then he also said, and this goes back to Sunday, that any decision he has to make, whatever direction he goes, he's got all of the evidence that he needs now. I really wonder if he's made up his mind, if there's a question, if he hasn't decided, if he's wrestling with a decision, or if he already knows what he's doing and he's just not letting us know, which, I mean, that's only fair considering that he hasn't met with Mike McCarthy specifically yet. Now, they've obviously talked about football a lot during the course of this season. McCarthy said that pretty much every conversation we have is about the future of the team, the direction of the team. And so, yes, we're constantly talking about the future. I don't think that means anything. What else would you be doing, right? You can't just, hey, I don't have a contract, so I'm not talking about the Cowboys moving forward. I mean, that's not good business. But I wonder if he already knows what he's doing. And whether he's busy acting in Landman or he's, I don't know, busy on his yacht, or maybe he just, this is really professional courtesy and he's not going to say anything until he and Mike McCarthy have worked out the details of a contract extension or have worked out the language, the verbiage that they might use for him to walk away without a new contract. Yeah. I don't know whether or not he's made up his mind.
I think he's playing a little rope-a-dope.
Meaning?
I think he's, all right, you got to let the contract run out, let McCarthy look around, but also use as a negotiating ploy. And because he has to, if he wants to bring him back, he probably wants the best contract for the Cowboys. So he's going to let him play the market. Let him, I don't think he's totally committed to McCarthy. 100%. I think that there's a little bit of doubt, a tiny bit of doubt in Jerry Jones. And I think he's just playing, he's seeing what happens. Let it play out. The contract runs out, let him talk to the Bears. Let him talk to whomever. And if they're going to bring him back, they bring him back on their terms. I think that's how they're thinking.
All right. So we'll see, because it's right at this point, a guessing game. But I'm not joking about Jerry Jones as a cameo actor on Landman. I have not seen the show, but if you are interested, the scene is out there with John Hamm and Billy Bob Thornton. And so Jerry Jones is at least busy with other professional interests, and he's not just about the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe that underscores this idea that he's taking his sweet old time because he's busy. He's had a lot going on.
Hollywood Jerry Jones.
I mean, he is famous outside the football world and inside the football world. At A-Law Radio, you can vote for TD of the Week. Do you know we are just 33 days until Super Bowl 59? That's a man, pretty soon. Super Bowl 59, it'll be here inside of 5 weeks. We've got a mad blitz of football over the next two between college and the NFL. Straight ahead, let you hear part of my conversation with Karen Garigian, who covers the Patriots for Mass Live Sports. She's been on this Patriots beat for 4 decades, really connected, and she was there for that press conference with Bob Kraft. Asked her about Mike Vrabel, so you'll hear what she has to say. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Gerard because I put him in an untenable situation.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
An emotional Bob Kraft delivering his comments and explaining why he let Gerard Mayo go after 1 year of coaching the Patriots. To what was a rough season, to be sure. And they lose out on the number one pick. Not that Gerard should have to pay for that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I spoke with Karen Garigian of Mass Live Sports. She's a night owl like us, and she joined us earlier in the show. But I wanted to bring back part of that because it maybe brings a little more depth and understanding to why this was such a tough move, but yet one the Patriots feel like they had to make. So I asked her what she took away from Bob Kraft's conference.
He took accountability. He said, blame him. He made a mistake. I mean, he still thinks Gerard Mayo will be a good coach. It was just too soon. He put him into the role too soon and in what he described as an untenable situation. And, I think by that, he was inheriting one of the worst rosters, if not the worst roster, in the NFL. He was succeeding a six-time Super Bowl winning head coach in New England. He had no experience as a head coach. He wasn't even a defensive coordinator. He was a linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. And as smart as Gerard Mayo is, as well as he knows football, there's just more that goes into being a head coach. And I think Gerard learned that the hard way. If it was just simple, just a matter of coaching, that's one thing. But all the things you have to deal with, and dealing with the media and dealing with days in, days off, all those kind of things, if you haven't done it before, it's hard to manage the first time around. And I really don't think he had much in the way of help. I mean, I know some coaches like Sean McVay, when he first, his early years, he had Wade Phillips on his sideline. Right. And, there really weren't experienced head coach types with him. Ben McAdoo was like a senior assistant, but in terms of guidance or someone to say, hey, Gerard, don't do that. Gerard, you might want to do that this way. There was nobody there kind of guiding him that way. So he made some mistakes. And mostly, though, what Robert Kraft said was, after their surprising win in the season opener against Cincinnati, he thought the team regressed. And it was more like from the midpoint on, he was looking for any sign of progress or any sign that even with a bad roster, there was a culture being built, that they were headed in a positive direction. And it just never happened. Gerard talked a lot about players not being repeat offenders with mistakes. But he was making the same type of mistakes with the media and saying things that he would have to take back the next day. He would say he was benching someone on the radio or to the TV people. And this was a running back. And on game day, the running back started. Mm. So it was just a little confounding, all his missteps. And the last home game prior to this one, the fans were chanting Fire Mayo, and the boos and the empty seats. I think all these things added up to, Robert saying, okay, look, I made a mistake, and he had to move on.
So when he talks about wanting to get someone in place quickly, what's he looking for as the next head coach of the Patriots?
Given the mistake he made, I'm going to go for a coach, someone with some experience, and someone who, no matter the type of roster they get, is going to, make the best out of that roster, get what they can out of that roster, while they're working to get better parts in and so on and so forth. But I do think, as bad as the roster was, as low as expectations were, I think the Krafts thought that there were some more wins in there that the team didn't get, and perhaps with a better coach, a more experienced coach, I'm talking like in-game situations and stuff like that, they might have been a 6-7 win team instead of a 4-4 win team.
Karen Garigian is with us from Mass Live covering the Patriots, and what was a very quick change and a quick hook by Bob Kraft right after the Pats wrapped the season with a win. He fires Gerard Mayo and gave his remarks on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The obvious talk now has turned to Mike Vrabel. I know the name was brought up at the press conference with Mr. Kraft. What did he say?
He dodged that one. Yeah, he dodged that word. Said there was a lot of interesting candidates out there, and he's still getting to know who all the candidates are. But I don't want to call it a slam dunk, but Vrabel checks off so many boxes. One, the experience factor. He's had a measure of success. He comes from the Patriots. He won 3 Super Bowls, so there's a familiarity about him. And I think the Krafts like people they're familiar with, like to work with people that they, you know, have a good sense about who they are and what they can provide. Gerard was in there. Even Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was in as a defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells when Parcells was here. You know, Robert got to know Bill through Bill Parcells because he was on the coaching staff. So that familiarity, especially now, I mean, Robert's 83. Having a coach that he's, you know, knows the dynamics, is aware of the history, is aware of the fan base, has a good understanding of what Robert expects. You know, I'm not saying that they won't go outside. I just think Mike Vrabel's almost a match made in heaven for Robert. But I also think if Robert's trying to get them out of the gutter and to get some goodwill back with the fan base, I think Mike Vrabel is basically the best turn it around, quick fix solution out there.
So we'll see whether or not it's someone from internal or someone from outside, but how important do you think it is that it's someone who can work with Drake May after they kind of saw some real positive signs with him?
Yeah, well, I think if you do hire someone like Mike Vrabel, the head coach, he, like Gerard, is the defensive-minded guy. Although Mike Vrabel has had a little more time to get to know more about the offensive side of it. I mean, he was in Cleveland as a consultant, and he was working with the offense. But I think that was intentional. You know, it kind of makes you a much more well-rounded candidate, and, you know, for the next job. And, I mean, let's face it, the league is so offensive-driven that, you know, some really good defensive coaches are kind of, I don't want to say eliminated from the coaching mix, but not perhaps given the same type of shot because everyone wants the great offensive mind. And that's why Ben Johnson is such a hot candidate from Detroit right now.
Right.
The Patriots have put in a requested interview with him. I think it's great that they will interview him and talk to him. But I think when push comes to shove, Robert isn't going to make the same mistake again and not pick someone who's at least had some head coaching experience. But I will say it's good that they will bring in candidates now. They didn't do that with Gerard. It was written in Gerard's contract that he was going to succeed Bill at some point. And so there was no coaching search. But the benefit of a coaching search is, or any search for GM or whatever, you get to talk to people and kind of hear their ideas you get to hear their ideas of how they would fix what was broke. And I think that's an important thing for any organization when they're making a hire, just to hear ideas, hear what people think. And even if you know who you think you're going to hire, sometimes you might change your view. Or, I mean, this is one of the best cases I can bring up for you. At the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Bill Cower left. Everyone was writing, and everyone assumed that they were going to replace Cower with one of his coordinators, mm-hmm. whether it was a defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator. That didn't happen. The current coach came in for an interview and basically blew them away. And guess what? He's been there 100 years, has had a winning record every single year. I guess the point is you don't know until you go through the process.
Right. If you go through it.
For my money, even if Mike Vrabel is the favorite, and there's no question that he is, it still will be good for them. Again, hear other things. As I said, Mike Tomlin came in and blew away the Steelers, and they went with him. And they haven't been sorry since.
Well, maybe the Steelers brass hasn't been sorry since, but there are still fans out there who don't think it's good enough. The Steelers, they got some work to do to stay alive in the playoffs past wildcard weekend as they'll be on the road at the Ravens Saturday night. Ooh, more with Karen Garigian. I actually asked her, what do the Patriots do with the number four pick? And so she gave several different directions, but one particular need that she believes they'll address first. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, on our Facebook page, you can vote for TD of the Week. It's the last one for the regular season, but we got playoffs on the horizon and our Defensive Player of the Week coming up. It's good to have you with us. Happy Tuesday morning now. My gosh, I know Monday after the holidays kicked my butt. I hope you're still awake, alive, thriving, surviving, getting back into the groove because the grind of January has hit me hard. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Volume change comes every year in the NFL. For the Jaguars, that meant firing Doug Peterson, shown the door after 3 years and just one playoff appearance. However, GM Trent Baalke was retained. Patriots, they made the move to fire Gerard Mayo after just one season, with owner Robert Kraft looking in the mirror on the situation.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Gerard because I put him in an untenable situation. I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league. He just needed more time before taking the job.
Situation remains unclear for the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy's contract is up this week with Dallas. Bears reportedly asking permission to speak with McCarthy. Now, Jerry Jones seems like he wants to retain him, also says he wants to stay in Dallas, with this response as to why the Cowboys should keep McCarthy in charge.
I don't like to talk about myself that way, but I'll just be clear. I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship. I won a championship in this building, and that's who I am. So, and we'll see where it goes.
Packers getting ready for the Eagles. Will have to do so without Christian Watson. Whiteout suffered a torn ACL. His season's obviously done. Browns, they got some unexpected news regarding Deshaun Watson.
Yesterday, as we went through our normal player, medical process, we did learn that he did have a setback in his Achilles recovery. We don't have all the details and everything yet, but it obviously extend the recovery process for him.
That's GM Andrew Barry. One other note, Chargers reportedly set to add Ezekiel Elliott to the practice squad. NBA, Kings outlast the Heat in double overtime, 123-118. Domantas Sabonis, 21, as part of a triple-double. Suns race the Sixers, 109-99. Magic handled the Knicks, 103-94. Bucks punched the Raptors, 128-104. The Pacers overwhelmed the Nets, 113-99. T-Wolves edged the Clippers, 108-106. Anthony Edwards with 37. Bulls rallied by the Spurs, 114-110. Zach LaVine, 35 points, 10 boards, 8 assists. Grizzlies too much for the Mavericks, 119-104. And the Pistons dumped the Blazers, 118-115. In college football, North Dakota State up at Montana State, 35-32 to win the FCS championship. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown.
touchdown! Peter Gambis, he's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Chicago Bears.
Takes the snap, sends it up the elevator. She's going to sail to the far side of the field where it's picked up by the Bears. A little trickery here, 25-30. A lot of blocking at the 40 to the 50 with the football at the 40, and nobody's going to get him into the end zone with an escort from Jack Sanborn. Is a touchdown, touchdown Blackwell, touchdown Bears.
The Carolina Panthers.
Young is under center. Here's the snap. Sanders up the middle, charging through the end zone. Touchdown Carolina. The Panthers walk it off to end the season.
The Houston Texans.
Mills under center with Pierce in the backfield. Davis feeds Pierce through a hole. 15, oh, wow. 20. He's gone. 40, 50. The 40 of Tennessee. The 30. Will he be caught? The 10, 5. Rock and roll. Damian Pierce coast to coast.
Washington Commanders.
Here's the snap. He's looking left. One-on-one. Throws over.
Oh, McLaurin. Touchdown, Washington! They've done it again!
Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I do! Terry McCourt, Marcus Mariota, perfect ball, ball game, Washington!
Ending the regular season with typical drama in the NFL. You know, there are plenty of ways we could go with TD of the week, but these are a few that actually ended games or that were instrumental in outcomes. So you've got Jeff Joniak on Bears Radio. This was kind of a tricky move by the Bears. DJ Moore lined up to receive a punt. Instead, it's Josh Blackwell who goes 94 yards, and it was his first career touchdown. Damian Pierce sparking the Texans offense with a 92-yard touchdown run. Mark Vanderveer on Texans Radio. You've got Bram Weinstein and company, London Fletcher there as Terry McLaurin hauls in a game-winning touchdown that stuns the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, that one is just now going into the final, 75 seconds on TV. It's on NFL Network. They're replaying Cowboys and Commanders. So on Commanders Radio, come up with another late win. This time, though, the pass thrown by Marcus Mariota. And finally, overtime, a walk-off, if you will. Anish Shroff on Panthers Radio. They end on a high note. And you saw the celebration from Bryce Young, as well as Dave Canales and the rest of the Panthers. This meant something to them as they beat the Falcons in OT. So you can vote for the After Hours TD of the Week. Final week of the regular season. It's up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. Now, I know it wasn't a touchdown, but a really sweet moment for Mike Evans. Final play of the Buccaneers regular season. They win the NFC South because they rally past the Saints on Sunday. And what does he do? On the very last throw of the game from Baker Mayfield, he gets the 5 yards he needs to go over 1,000 for the season. Remember, he was on IR for a while and he missed a bunch of games because of a hamstring injury, but still, 11 straight seasons of 1,000 yards to start his career. He ties the record of the great Jerry Rice, and it was neat to hear him on Sirius XM NFL Radio on Monday.
It means a lot to me, my family, the team, the franchise, to be in the same sentence as Jerry Rice and one of his records. I mean, that's a lot of hard work I put in for that, and I'm very appreciative and happy that I got it. I felt like we were going to win the game. We were up 8 points, but the way our defense came out, it seemed like they were going to stop them. I was going to get one more opportunity. I mean, the defense really gave it their all that last drive and got us the ball back. And then Todd and Liam were talking, and they gave me the go-ahead to go get the record, go get history. So I appreciate them for that. Appreciate the defense and all my teammates.
How cool is that? It was important to Todd Bowles, to the offensive coordinator, to Baker Mayfield, to the rest of those Buccaneers. The defense gets a stop. They want to make sure Mike Evans has the opportunity. And he had a couple of passes that he hauled in those last few minutes. And here are the Bucs as the NFC South champions again, despite a ton of injuries and some adversity. They're heading into the postseason.
I feel like this team is, we're pretty much battle-tested. I mean, we've been through this last year. We've been through this in the past. We have a lot of guys who work extremely hard and take this serious. We know this game of football is not going to ever be perfect, but we just come to work every day and try to give it our all and live with the outcomes. It's one of your original goals is to win the division. It helps a lot to win the division if you're trying to get to the Super Bowl. So happy we accomplished that. It's the fourth season in a row. It's a long way from where I started my career. We had no chance to win the division my first like 4 or 5 years. And you know, I'm happy that we've accomplished this for the fourth season in a row.
Once again, Mike Evans on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and I love what he has to say about the beginning of his career. He's been steady Eddie all the way through. He's been old reliable, if you will. The guy that no matter who was throwing the passes, and he's seen a lot of different quarterbacks, well, he was always able to catch them and make a difference. And now, well, going back to Tom Brady, now they've won 4 consecutive division titles. He's won a Super Bowl, which was great validation. He worked with and caught passes from maybe the greatest quarterback ever to throw them. And I know Baker Mayfield is not Tom Brady, but he's managed to develop a great rapport with Mike Evans. And Chris Godwin as well, though Chris has been injured the second half of the season. I think it's incredible to think about the thread and the arc of Mike Evans' career and the fact that he's the one that's been there. And so when he talks about adversity, when he talks about no shot at the playoffs, not even sniffing the playoffs, no talk of the playoffs, when he first started his career with the Buccaneers, but yet he stayed, right? He stayed, he's still there. And I love that he now gets to reap some of the rewards of his hard work. It's amazing, the work ethic. He's a humble superstar, and he's been a constant, which is great for coaches and for quarterbacks. Before Tom Brady, it was Jameis Winston for a bunch of years, and Josh McCown before that. Mike Glennon. Remember Mike Glennon? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hey, this is also not a touchdown, but I think it's critical. The Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. There's a reason why the Lions defense was lights out against the Vikings and forced them to go over in the red zone, did not give up a touchdown. I'm not going to tell you it's all the return of Alex Anzalone, the linebacker who was dealing with a broken arm, but he comes back early, playing for the first time since November, and what a jolt of energy and confidence for that Lions defense that has lost so many people over the course of the year, most of them on the defensive side of the ball. Anzalone comes back. Remember, he was a veteran. He was calling plays for the defense, and he had 7 tackles. He was a beast out there on the field. He provided so much energy, and I think that's huge for them as they get the bye, yes, but Anzalone's back. He's a staple. He gives them just added dimensions and, of course, a fierceness, a toughness, an aggressiveness, an attacking mentality of their defense. The versatility he's got as well, he allows other guys to do what they do and do it to the best of their ability. So I'm going to give this Defensive Player of the Week to Anzalone because something changed after the way they'd played the last month and given up a ton of points. It wasn't the same defense that started the year. A lot of that due to injuries, but Anzalone returns and they look completely different. I'm excited to see what the Lions do in this postseason. Same thing with the Chiefs, of course. They've got history in their sights, but we're going to have to wait until divisional round for those two teams to play. Instead, we got wild card weekend on the horizon. Have a great Tuesday. Talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!